morning, I want to give a special shout out and a big thank you to Sister Carolyn. We are extremely grateful to her for sharing with us and bringing alive for us in such a real and a fresh way the written and the spoken word of God. And I do hope and believe that what Sister Carolyn shared through her breathe in and her breathe out experiences in the Holy Land was insightful to us. I know it was insightful to me as a believer who's tried to connect with the Lord in every way possible that I can in these last days. She has taken the phrase walking by faith, at least for me, to a whole new amazing level. I can see clearly now because of what she shared with us last week, and I too am eager to walk the walk, if you will, and have the gospel become even more abundantly rich in the measure of the faith that God has given me. For you who were with us last week, and you may recall this, Sister Carolyn placed a particular emphasis on preparation in her organized travel to Israel. She just didn't get there. She prepared for the journey. The trip wasn't one to be viewed as just, for all of y'all in Gainesville, y'all know this, but it wasn't like leaving East Gainesville to go to the Oaks Mall. That wasn't the kind of trip that she was taking. And I believe that for what she shared online and for what she shared with me during our private moments, it was a life-changing journey that required intentional and focused preparation. She mentioned to us at least two things that I thought about, and I've been thinking about off and on since last Sunday as she prepared herself to go to the Holy Land. And one, she started exercising and walking more regularly because she learned that there was going to be a lot of walking on this trip, and she understood, based upon what had been shared with her, that she was going to travel the roads that the Lord Jesus actually traversed on his own journey during his 3-year ministry. And I thought about that because I'm not sure if we consider it as often as we need to, but the Lord Jesus had to travel the rugged and the dusty roads of the Middle East to get to where the Father was leading him to go. The life of the Lord Jesus was not a privileged life. He was still, I know he was fully God and fully man, but his background was simply the son of a carpenter. And so he had to walk to most of the places that he needed to go. If you will, use your imagination with me. There was no Uber chariot for the Lord Jesus. There was no Lyft donkey for the Lord Jesus. There was no Cadillac horses to get him from place to place. And all at the same time, we need to be reminded the Lord Jesus was a fit man. He was a strong man. Anybody who's going up at the top of a mountain and fasting 40 days and 40 nights at that level of elevation, he had to be physically fit. Jesus was not some weakly man. He was a man's man. He was a strong man who could walk the walk. And for our sins, traveled up to that old rugged cross and carry that old rugged cross to bear their righteousness, about their sin. And practically this morning, family, I hope that you are hearing this with me, that we need to be walking more and exercising more to keep our bodies and our minds in tune and in shape and also in the will of God. Our bodies are not designed to be the center of overeating, laziness, gluttonous, but to be the temples of the Holy Ghost. Know you not, hallelujah, that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Paul would write it something like this in Romans 12, 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this age, but be you transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man and every woman that is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. Family, this morning, hallelujah, we would sing the song so faithfully when I was growing up on 15th Street. My body belongs to God. My body belongs to God. My body belongs to God. My whole body belongs to God. My body, your body, our bodies belong to God. And family, we simply have to do better. We have to eat better. We have to exercise better. We have to think better if we're going to live for Him and live a life more abundantly. The second point that Sister Carolyn made that I connected with was that because of the climate in Israel, especially at the time of the year as you travel, you needed to choose wisely the type of clothes that you would need to wear. And offline, Sister Carolyn told me, and it was kind of funny, y'all, too. She said, I grown up by faith, and I didn't need to be taking no stockings over there with me to Israel. And I just thought that was so funny, because sometimes we could be so indoctrinated into how we were brought up that we don't even recognize that there needs to be a change of clothing for us to traverse where God has called us to go. Thank God that Sister Carolyn, that while in Israel, she needed to dress according to the climate and to the terrain. In fact, she exposed me to something that I had never heard about or knew about, and she mentioned hiking sandals as being more preferred to walk in rather than tennis shoes, because, you know, you could get those hiking sandals wet, but they were more effective and efficient because when they got wet, they could dry more quickly than the tennis shoe. There's some wisdom in us appreciating that sometimes life is carrying us to a place that whatever we have learned, whatever we have accustomed to in this new era of God's glory, we need to lay aside every weight and sin, everything that we have adopted as our practice, even well-meaning. God has called us into a new era of His glory. And I'm certain, too, that even as, and when I thought about the hiking sandals, that perhaps Sister Carolyn had on those hiking sandals when she was baptized in the Jordan River, there is wisdom in preparation, family. And even though she didn't mention this outright, I'm certain, too, that Sister Carolyn was spiritually and financially prepared to take the trip. And I recall when she first shared with me that she was going over, and she asked for prayer, specifically that the Father would bless her to go over there and come back home safely. And thank God that the Lord was with her and took her over there and brought her home. And it seemed like to me, as soon as she got back, there was trouble brewing between Israel and her Palestinian neighbors. And I'm so grateful to our Father that God answered our prayers and granted her safe travels and ensured her personal safety in a nation that is often in a military struggle with her neighbors. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the peace of the United States. And thank you, Sister Carolyn, for your faith and your confidence and your get up and go. Hallelujah. You are a blessing to us and to the body of Christ. Sister Carolyn's personal account, again, got me thinking more and more about whether I am ready for the trip. Am I ready for the trip? And not just the trip to Israel, hallelujah, but the trip to come. The trip to come. The trip to come when Christ comes back for the rapture, to gather his saints, both dead and alive, those in the earth and those under the earth, those in the sea and those on the sea. Am I just ready for the trip to come? All of us, under the sound of God's voice, we need to take a personal assessment and conduct a personal spiritual evaluation as to if the Lord should crack the sky right now in the twinkling of an eye. Will we be ready to see him and go back with him when he comes? This morning I want to share with you from the book of St. Matthew, for you who are blessed and fortunate to do so, if you could just go to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to read verses 32 through 39. And I promise not to hold you longer than I already have. Beginning at verse 32, chapter 24, the book of St. Matthew. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, O woman, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Knew not until the flood came and took them all away, for so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. Amen. In our minds, as well as in our hearts, I believe that the Holy Ghost is just reminding us that Jesus Christ is soon to come. And a thought that I just want to share with you today is preparation for the soon coming king. Preparation for the soon coming king. Preparation for the soon coming king. I hope that quickens in your spirit and you take it with you from today and each and every day as we move forward in this new era of God's glory. A now living God speaking to a now living church in a not now generation. In the text, Jesus is responding to Elder Bobby, if you will, a well-placed question. One that was asked of his disciples early on in chapter 24. Jesus, show us, tell us, what will the signs be of your return? Lord Jesus, talk to us about what things will be evident to us with the naked eye that we will know that you are soon to return. The verses that follow in the book of Matthew chapter 24 actually address the signs which will precede his third coming. Jesus is coming a second time. That will be the rapture, and then the third time, and that will be after the period of great tribulation when the church will have spent 1,000 years with him. And so in the context of what Jesus is talking about now is actually after the tribulation and what will be the signs of his return. But as the Holy Ghost brought back to my remembrance these verses 32 through 39, I believe that he did so in the wisdom that when the Lord Jesus cracks the sky at his second coming, it's going to be a magnificent surprise for many of us, because we're not on alert right now that he is soon to return. And for many who are not ready, and it may be those just in what we call the so-called church, there are going to be many who are not ready. And it's not only going to be a sudden and a unexpected surprise, but it's going to be an unwanted and unwelcome surprise. Get ready, saints. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for the soon coming king. Verses 32 through 39, they remind us that even in this new era, hallelujah, of God's glory, that many within the body of Christ are evidencing the same preoccupation of the common theme of life. And we're so preoccupied with the common theme of life, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, that we have, I believe, we have missed the message. I just hope we don't miss the mark, but many of us may have missed the message of the soon coming king. Right on, King Jesus. Right on, right on, right on. Lord, come on back, come on back, come on back. We're waiting on your return. But in this hour, we are preoccupied and overwhelmed with too often. Oh, yeah, it's the common things of life. We're too occupied with the basic things and necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter, financial aid, getting my degree, getting my next degree, getting a job and maintaining a job and getting a job with benefits and then making enough money, hopefully, to retire when I can retire, if Social Security is around. As the word says, for as in the day that were before the flood, we too, saints, are eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, just like the world was in the days of Noah before he entered into the ark. But in this moment, in this hour, God is calling out unto us and saying, can you hear me now? in the pandemic. Can you hear me now? In the midst of monkeypox. Can you hear me now? In the analysis, if you will, of Russia invading Ukraine. Can you hear me now? On Friday, the stock market plunging 1,000 points. Can you hear me now? All of these things, all of these signs, family, I believe they are a subtle reminder, but a clarion call that we all should be. Me and you, individually and collectively, we all should be in preparation for the soon coming King. Noah, hallelujah, the great grandson of Enoch, who was translated and just went on to heaven. I want to have that Enoch experience, y'all. I don't want to taste of the cup of death myself. I want to have, that's what I'm praying for, either the Lord come on back right now or let me have the Enoch experience. I want to just pass that test of death. I want to get around that. That's just me. But Noah, the great grandson of Enoch, he preached a message, and he preached the same message. I don't even know if he changed the text, but the message for a 120 years was that the rain is coming, the flood is coming, and he preached the same message for 120 years, and he still didn't have no converts. So he still couldn't boast about the number of members that he had in his church. Nobody got saved on his ministry. People couldn't comprehend or even conceive, hallelujah, that rain was coming, because Noah had ever seen rain before. Water had never fallen from the sky to the earth. So Noah's message was crazy. Like, I believe that right now somebody's probably saying that this message is crazy because I'm advocating for a soon coming King. Noah's preparation. And we need to get prepared, saints, just like Noah. Noah's preparation in building an ark to some was crazy. He lost his mind. And sometimes you have to lose your mind so you can take on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But when you read the text, they tell me they have found the ark, hallelujah, in Turkey, and they're excavating it now. You can look at the pictures. They have found the ark. So not only what we find in scriptures, but what we find that has been buried for a long time, and they're excavating it now. After a while, hallelujah, after a while, the rain began to fall, and the waters of life continued to climb higher and higher. And the people who had heard the same message for 120 years, those excluding the 8 souls that were saved, Noah, his wife, his boy, and his daughter-in-law, the people on the outside of those 8, those outside of the holy ark and covenant of safety, they were taken away by the flood. And family, in our own lives, while the rain is falling now, the rains of pestilence, the rain of pandemic, the rains of drought, the rains of uncontrollable fires, the rains of flash floods, the rains of financial crisis and asset depletion, the rains of setups and setbacks orchestrated by an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The people of God all over the world, the ecclesia, should have a testimony. I can see clearly now. While the rain is coming down, and while the rain I can see clearly now. And I can see clearly now because I heard him clearly. And now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God's insight has brought me to better eyesight. God's insight, the breathing word from a living God to a living church in a not now generation. God's insight has brought us better, not bitter, but better eyesight. And I can hear him saying through the writer, the breathing word found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. For every house is built by some man, but he that builds all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Unto the end. Hallelujah. Unto the end. If we could just rejoicing of the hope, if we could just rejoice in the hope firm unto the end. Glory be to God. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, quicken us, Holy Spirit. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brothers. Take heed, sisters. Lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hallelujah. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Family, the message is clear. Now is the time to be talking about and reminding one another today, if we hear his voice, let us every day exhort one another and remind one another and edify one another while it is called today. And let us be about the preparation for the soon coming King. That's what this message is about. Hallelujah. Let us get ready for the soon coming King. Amen.